We turn once again now in God's Word to the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. And on the slow walk with Jesus that we're taking through this book and through this chapter, today we arrive at verses 11 through 21. So I invite you to find a Bible if you'd like and turn there with me, please. We've been in this chapter, it's our third Sunday in John 10, and we've seen so far that Jesus is speaking to us as if we're sheep. And Jesus is not just speaking to us as if we're any old sheep, but we're his sheep. We belong to him. We are beloved by him. And he's speaking to us that way as our shepherd. And as our shepherd, he does what a shepherd does. He brings us in. He draws us to himself. And as our door, he does what a door does. He brings us in through himself. We explored that last week. And he also clearly and tenderly, there's clarity in the voice of Jesus in this section and tenderness in the voice of Jesus. He's also tenderly warning us because he wants to protect us from false shepherds. So if you have your Bible open in verse 10, we heard Jesus say last week that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came, Jesus says to you, that you may have life. And have it abundantly. He's speaking to us as if we're his sheep and as if he is our shepherd. 1,000 years before John was written, before the earthly ministry of Jesus, King David wrote a psalm about a shepherd. And many of us know this well. Many of us may know this by heart. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every word of that, every promise, all of that comfort and assurance and safety and security and promise and life and goodness and mercy. Every word of Psalm 23 is true in Jesus. And John 10 makes that abundantly clear. And we have to see this. We have to hear this. The goodness of this promise that is ours in Jesus, because we have to know this. We have to know this goodness is found, is available, is secure, always, eternally, no matter what. This goodness is ours in Jesus. It's not enough just to hear about this goodness, although that's a good start. We have to know this goodness. We have to know that it's in Jesus, because if we don't know that, we will look for it elsewhere. If you don't know how good Jesus really is, then you will look for a substitute somewhere else. If you don't know how good Jesus is, you will look for a supplement, an addition somewhere else. If you don't know how good Jesus is, you will settle for far less somewhere else. Our problem, if I may speak broadly here, our problem is hardly ever that we think Jesus is better than he really is. Can we ever be accused of that? Our problem most of the time, and if we're honest, probably all of the time, is that we actually have no idea how good Jesus is. We don't even know how good Jesus is. Or we've forgotten, or we've become numb to it, or we've never been told how good Jesus really is. And if you don't know how good Jesus really is, then of course you'll look for a substitute or a supplement or settle for far less somewhere else. So that's why Jesus, through his word and by his spirit, even right now, is always redirecting us and recentering us and reminding us and re-inviting us to see, be satisfied by, and not settle for anything less than the greatest goodness there is. That's what we have in Jesus. There is no goodness that even compares to him, doesn't even come close to him, isn't even in the same universe as Jesus. In Jesus, we have all-surpassing goodness. The goodness of our good shepherd, given to us in Jesus himself, embodied in Jesus himself. In another psalm that David wrote, Psalm 16, he wrote in verse 2, something incredible. He says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. And now get a load of this. He says, I have no good apart from you. I have no good apart from you. Later on in that psalm, Psalm 16, verse 11, he says to the Lord, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, no lack. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's how someone talks and prays and lives who knows the all-surpassing goodness of the Good Shepherd. They know there's no greater goodness than the goodness that is in God in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus says in our text this morning, John 10, verse 11, I am that Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. But then how do we know that that's true? What's the anchor for that? The promise of his all-surpassing goodness? What's the anchor of that, that he is the Good Shepherd? The rest of verse 11 tells us that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's how we know. That's how we know. It's simple. It's wonderful. We can never hear it too much. That this is how you know just how good Jesus is. There is no greater goodness than the goodness of Jesus Christ because he laid down his life for you. That's the anchor. That's the foundation. It never moves. It never shakes. The shepherd has proven his goodness to you and me by dying for the sheep. The shepherd has died for the sheep. He anchors his goodness, forever goodness, eternal goodness to you that you cannot find anywhere else, to his willful laying down of his life for us. It's the cross, which on the one hand is a terrible reflection, the cross is, of the evil and darkness of the world. But on the other hand, we see this morning, redemptively and sovereignly, the death, the cross of Jesus is much more than that. It is a glorious reflection of the goodness of God. Jesus laying down his life for you is not primarily a picture of what you did to him. Jesus laying down his life for you, so Jesus says this morning, is primarily a picture of what he did for you. Five times in our text this morning between verses 11 and 18, and that's really where we're focusing, Jesus anchors the promise of his goodness to us as our good shepherd in the laying down of his life. Verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The end of verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Middle of verse 17, I lay down my life. Now verse 18, lest we think that Jesus is some sort of unwilling victim. Look what he says. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Notice a pattern here over and over and over again in this teaching of Jesus. His laying down his life, his willful, loving, voluntary laying down of his life for the sheep is the guarantee of his all-surpassing goodness that we cannot find anywhere else. So let me just draw our attention this morning to the three things our text draws our attention to that it highlights. that Jesus laying down his life proves. Okay, he lays down his life for me. He dies on the cross. It proves he's good. No one else would do that. What does that prove? Three things that Jesus himself highlights for us. And the first is it proves that he cares. He cares for his sheep infinitely more than we could ever imagine anyone else ever caring for us. He cares for his sheep, and he contrasts his care for the sheep to the kind of care that we might find in what he calls a hired hand, who, verse 13 says, cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand doesn't care about the sheep. When we hear Jesus talk about a hired hand here in verses 12 and 13, think worldly goodness, hired hand. Think purchasable, achievable, attainable, visible, tasteable. Worldly goodness is good, and we can buy it or achieve it and have it and see it and feel it. It's good, but it would never die for you when things go sideways. Never. Jesus says in verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, implication, Jesus the shepherd owns his sheep or his possession, praise God. But a hired hand doesn't own the sheep, so he sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. I think of that old Monty Python skit, you know, like, run away, run away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees, a hired hand, achievable, purchasable, feelable, tasteable, visible, worldly goodness, flees. Why? Because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So why'd you devote your whole life to that kind of goodness? Why'd you build your life on that kind of goodness? Because where is it now? It's gone. A hired hand, worldly goodness, pleasures, pursuits will flee from you, be gone in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, because verse 13 says, it cares nothing for the sheep. It's good while it lasts. It's good, it is good. But then it's gone. I think of the delicious, fluffy pancakes I ate yesterday morning at breakfast. We took Catherine out to celebrate Mother's Day yesterday morning because it's harder for us to celebrate on a Sunday morning. And they were delicious. Did I say fluffy already? Warm, butter, bananas, strawberries, syrup, coffee. It's delicious. It's good. Good pancakes. But then in a moment, guess what? They're gone. Anybody want some pancakes right now? Worldly goodness is like that. To quote Jesus, it's like a hired hand. It's good, it's there. It's good as pancakes and as fickle as pancakes. Because things go sideways, things go dark, and you turn around, where did it go? It's gone. It's a contrast Jesus is painting. The kind of goodness we can pay for higher. It's gone in a heartbeat. But the all-surpassing goodness of the good shepherd is never gone. You'll never find yourself thinking, where did he go? Where did Jesus go? He's gone. No, he's never gone. Verse 14 and 15, I know my own, he says. It's amazing. My own know me. How closely, how intimately, this closely and this intimately as verse 15. Just as close and just as intimately as the Father knows Jesus and as Jesus knows the Father. To use a theological word here, wow. I mean, wow. We are known, cared for by our good shepherd, just as the Father knows the Son and as the Son knows the Father. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what it means to be cared for by Jesus. We're not just cared for by a thing. We're cared for by a goodness that has a name attached to it. We are cared for by Jesus. And to be cared for by Jesus is to be known by Jesus. To be known by the Good Shepherd is to be brought into the unity of the intimacy of the relationship between the Father and the Son, between the Spirit and the Son, between the Father and the Spirit. We are brought into that, all by grace through faith in Christ. Wow. So we can say, really say, not just hope say, but really say, like with Psalm 23:4, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. You never flee. You never run away. You're never gone. Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ beside me, Christ around me, Christ within me. Where is he? He's everywhere. Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? I can make my bed in hell and you're there. I can go to the tops of the mountains and you're there. And we can know this is true. His care for the sheep, because it was proven and secured on the cross. Jesus laying down his life for the sheep also proves, we see it here, Jesus says this, that he seeks after his sheep. He seeks after us. Verse 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. Says who? Says the shepherd. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. I just think we can grow numb to statements like this of Jesus in the Gospels. We just read this and think, oh, okay. I have other sheep and I must bring them. This is his heart. This is God. This is amazing grace. That Jesus lays his eyes on us, his sheep, and he just calls us his sheep. We're scattered. We're sinful. We're doubting. We're off doing our own thing. We've made a mess wherever we are, whatever we've done, whoever we are. And Jesus just says, that's my sheep. That's my sheep. And that's my sheep. And I will bring them in and they'll listen to my voice. Notice verse 16, Jesus says, I have. They're his possession. Again, just to ask this question, says who? Says Jesus. In grace, he decrees, I must bring them, they will listen. The shepherd seeks after the sheep. The cross is the proof, and this is the foundation of belief. It's the foundation of belief, grace alone. The foundation is not that you first sought after God. The foundation of grace alone is that God first sought after you. Even the old Baptist hymn puts this so well. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. Some of you ready to burst into song right now, you old Baptists in here. He loved me ere I knew him. And all my love is, he loved me ere I knew him? What does that mean? It means he loved me before I knew him. It's amazing. And the cross is the proof of this. He sought you, meaning he still seeks after you. He never finishes his seeking after you, pursuing you, because he is the good shepherd. And what kind of good shepherd? He's the greatest good shepherd that there is. You will not find this anywhere else. Let me just close here for the sake of time, pointing out the last thing that Jesus highlights here in his revelation of himself as the good shepherd, which is of his great love for the sheep. We cannot hear this enough because we do grow numb to this. We do grow used to this. We need to hear that Jesus laying down his life proves that he loves his sheep with an everlasting, never failing love. Jesus says in verse 17, for this reason, the Father loves me. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up again. Now read that kind of statement. Look at that statement through the glasses of John 3:16. It's about the Father loving the Son being loved by the love of the Father because Jesus lays down his life. Yet again, Jesus saying that his laying down of his life, the cross, is the proof of the Father's love for you. You may think from time to time, why do Christians make such a big deal about the cross? We sing about it. pray about it. We talk about it. We have it on our steeple. We have it in our sanctuary. We process in behind it. We process out behind it. The blessing of God is pronounced to us in the sign of the cross. Why the big deal about the cross? Because the cross is the proof of how much God loves us. How much does God love you? God loves you as much as the cross proves he loves you. It's the love of God that sends the Son into the world for sinful, rebellious, lost, wandering sheep to bring them to God. John 3:16. Here's our glasses here looking at this text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And so that's then the charge that Jesus is talking about. If you look at verse 18, the charge that the Son has received from the Father is a charge of love. We grow callous to this. We think it can't be. Or we just hear it so often. Remember what Augustine said, that God loves each one of us as if we were the only one to love. The cross be the reminder to you of that, of his great love for you. And we have to hear this today and see this in the Bible, in black and white. This goodness of the Good Shepherd, because we have to know this goodness, to know it. It's not enough just to hear about this goodness. You have to know this goodness in Jesus. It's true. It's all true. And it's more true than you can ever imagine. All of this goodness is true in Jesus. And you need to know this because otherwise you'll look for it elsewhere. And that might be some of your realities right now. You're looking everywhere for this goodness. You have no idea that this goodness, all the goodness you could ever imagine and hope for and long for and hunger for and thirst for and need in your core, this goodness is offered to you and promised to you and secured for you vertically in Christ. You have it in Christ, but you don't know that you have it in Christ, and so you're looking for it horizontally. And you spend your life looking for this kind of goodness elsewhere. When you've got it in Christ, or you're looking for this kind of care and love elsewhere. Because if you're honest, you don't really know that you know, or you haven't yet believed that this perfect love and care of God and seeking after you in Jesus Christ is totally available for you, forever secured for you by faith. You don't need to look for this goodness anywhere else, for this care, this love, because you won't find it there. You will only find what you're looking for in Jesus. He is your shepherd. You shall not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every word of that is true in Jesus. Every word of that is true only in Jesus. Every other substitute is a scam. It is. Every other supplement is actually subtraction. Don't settle for anything less than the all-surpassing goodness of our Good Shepherd Jesus. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no other good apart from you. Oh God, thank you that this is true. Help us to believe it. Help us to know it, to stand upon it, to rest upon it, to abide inside this love.
Help us, O God, by your Spirit. Draw us again and again to the all-surpassing goodness of our good shepherd, Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.